done.
In my brain, I was like, no, but like, can you think of what it sounded like at all? And I'm like, I can't, because all I could think was, oh, fuck, that's wrong.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're having a geeky media roundup. We talk about all the really cool nerdy stuff coming out in movies, TV, and comics.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hi, I'm a co-host.
And Nick Glover.
That's me.
Also a co-host.
Yay.
He's Mario.
We have a very amazing episode for you today. We haven't done one of these in a long time. It's a geeky media roundup.
Geeky media roundup.
That's our theme song now. Yeah, if I had a budget right now, I'd be like, yeah. And like a whip sound. Whoop-ha.
Giddy up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a roundup. So we, and by we I mean Nick, have spent the last few hours, and by hours I mean moments, really just delving into all of the geeky media that we have available coming up this year.
I did some delving.
You did some delving?
A little bit.
Aw.
I looked up like upcoming movies on Box Office Mojo.
That is a really good job.
Thank you.
Good job, Tim.
Thank you.
Tim is a millennial pleasure. At heart, even though he is a boomer by birth.
I am a Generation X. Thank you very much. Jesus.
The greatest generation, everybody.
The invisible generation. So invisible you didn't even know that was my generation.
Are you the Oregon Trail generation? Are you too early for that?
No, I'm Oregon Trail.
Are you Oregon Trail?
I played fucking Oregon Trail.
I think the three of us. Did you play it in school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Play it in middle school.
No, it doesn't have to be middle school.
I played it in grade school.
All right. So we're doing a geeky media roundup. There's a lot of really good, nerdy, geeky stuff coming out in movies and TV and books and things like that. And there's a lot of it we want to talk about. And some of it may have already come out, but we're just aware of it. Just be aware that that may happen, because a lot of times I might find out about a book or an audiobook and it turns out it was published 2 years ago. But it's now to me. It's new to me.
And that means it's now to you, because you probably haven't heard of it.
That's true.
Dear listeners.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Except for that one person.
First things first, I'm going to tell you right now, as of today, Tuesday, October 30th, Stephen King has a new book out.
Whoa!
That's right. He has a new book out.
Isn't he like your favorite writer?
He is, and it's at my house right now, and I have tomorrow off.
No, we better talk fast.
Yeah. So, yeah.
If it was in that Amazon box, I already threw it away.
Boo! No, it's called Elevation, and that is all I know about it, because I buy his book sight unseen. That said, I also would say that I know that there have been... We haven't been plugged into the comic scene as much lately because of the aforementioned problems with the source.
Yeah. In our Geeky Bummers episode.
Yeah,
not so
in our
long
Geeky
ago.
Bummers episode.
Yeah, I haven't been paying attention too much to comics. I know Bitter Root is coming out.
Okay.
And I've been looking forward to that for a while. That's, I think it's like Harlem Renaissance. Family of demon hunters.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And the art looks like Mike Mignola, Hellboy, kind of.
Very cool.
I think that starts next month or in a month.
Okay. Other books that I have recently been made aware of, as you know, dear listeners, I often read terrible murder books, but there are a couple of murder books that I will just mention right now. They're not just murder books. They're very good books. Some of them have been out recently, some of them not. But you should listen to these if you're interested in the kinds of dark fiction that I'm interested in. Baby Teeth by Zoya Stage. It is a really great novel about childhood psychosis. Another book called Our Little Lies by Sue Watson, which is a very, very British murder book I'm listening to right now. And then a book called Social Creature by Tara Isabella Burton, which is, it's New York socialite party girl murder book that I think that you would very much enjoy. It is narrated flawlessly. I don't often keep audiobooks. I tend to return them for new credits and get new ones. Hmm. This is one that I will keep and listen to again simply for the performance delivered by Saskia Marl Leveld. So that's nice. that's my book stuff.
Book stuff.
A couple other comics on the way out. Yeah. Billionaire Killers is Black Mask Studios, which they've been putting out good shit lately. That's starting at the end of November. That's looking to be pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Black Mask does it's comics that would have been in zines like 10 or 15 years ago.
Sure.
But they're very kind of revolutionary, kind of truth to power-ish. I think that's like the only thing I have on the horizon that's not like something that's out. Maneater's just started. That's kind of weird. It's like a mutated form of toxoplasmosis. The kitty litter disease.
Yeah, the thing that can fuck up pregnant women.
Starts turning menstruating women into giant cats, like large cats that maul and kill.
Whoa, here she comes.
Yeah, totally.
Watch out, boy. Meow, 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 meow.
So in this future, menstruation is very strictly controlled chemically.
Mm.
And it doesn't always work.
That makes sense because historically menstruation has made men uncomfortable and afraid.
Yeah. So the very first cover, like the first issue just came out a week or two ago. The first cover is three upraised cat paws and just like actual glitter on the page everywhere where the paws aren't. The art is cool. Kind of reminds me of Runaways.
So you're saying pussy power.
Kinda,
I feel like
yeah.
that. Yeah, that's
I'm really
where
curious
it's going.
To see where it goes.
Yeah.
It's kind of goofy.
There's been some, it's not upcoming, but there's been some very recently released kind of geeky media Netflix. The House on Haunted Hill is a show on Netflix that is very horror. Horror geeks out there. I myself, a horror geek. Sometimes I'm both, but I'm bumps. I thought it was flawless. I except for the last episode, which was a bit of a bummer. That's fine. You know what? They say Stephen King can't end a book, and The Haunting of Hill House can't end a series. So it's
I actually
want to
watch that. I've read the book.
Yeah.
And The Haunting is a fantastic movie. Not the 1999 one, the 1960 something one directed by Robert Wise, which is based on the book. And I know that this series is based on that mm-hmm. same book. So as much as I'm not a huge horror nerd, this one interests me, and I'm definitely going to check it out.
It's spooky as fuck.
Molly and I watched the first three episodes of Titans.
Yeah, we did.
On DC's streaming service, which we are not subscribed to.
What? Gasp.
That's the dark one where Robin says, fuck Batman.
He does, but there's a good reason.
So, okay.
I've seen the trailer.
The trailer does the show an incredible injustice.
It's an Injustice League that's trailer.
That's a joke. It is very dark. It is very violent. The violence is surprising. It's on par with like Netflix Daredevil
or Punisher. If violence makes you kind of laugh uncomfortably the way it does me, it is laughable violence.
Yeah, yeah, but. Three episodes in and it's surprising me still.
Yeah.
It's still too early to say, cause like, I loved the first season of like Flash and Arrow and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not Legends of League of Tomorrow or whatever, but you know, like those got a little stale with the drama and all that crap. So we'll see how it goes, but so far so good. And it's going to lead right into Doom Patrol, which I'm super excited about. Brandon Fraser is the robot man. Like, it looks perfect.
I'm constantly confused that Doom Patrol isn't a Marvel title.
Yeah, well.
Every time.
So Doom Patrol is almost like X-Men, kind of. It's a league of outcasts.
And they've confirmed a Doom Patrol show?
There's a trailer for it.
Oh, cool.
There's
They wouldn't make a trailer if there wasn't a show.
There's production pictures of people in costume. They did the first shot, the first little bit actually showing the robot man.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks dope.
Cool.
The DC streaming service goes Titans, the third season of Young Justice, the first half.
Hey.
Then Doom Patrol, then Swamp Thing and Stargirl and Harley Quinn, the animated Harley Quinn show, which the trailer for which looked pretty funny.
Are they bringing back the same creative team for Young Justice?
It's yeah.
It's everybody?
Yep.
That's Weisman. Exciting.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it
Young
is.
Justice is great.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't watched it, for real, go binge Young Justice.
Oh, man.
I'm not usually a DC girl, but I absolutely loved Young Justice.
It's a really good primer and introduction to a shit ton of DC characters.
I feel it's important to note that my only experience with the Teen Titans is Teen Titans Go, which I very much love. And I also love this dark as fuck Titans show. So
yeah.
It's two sides of the spectrum. What else is coming out for television that we can think of?
In spring, we'll get the second season of Punisher, maybe the final season of Punisher, the way
almost
things are going.
Certainly the final season of Punisher, yeah.
Jessica Jones is still slated to come out in summer or fall, but
it's
again,
weird they haven't, yeah.
That'll probably be the last season of that.
It's weird that they canceled, they must have canceled Iron Fist and Luke Cage because they were so, they hadn't started production
right,
yet.
That's it.
That's got to be what it was, yeah.
And so, and maybe they'll come back, maybe they won't come back. On Disney's streaming service once that kicks up, but we don't know a lot about that yet. The What We Do in Shadows show comes out next year.
Oh, I didn't know they were having a show.
Yeah.
Is it going to have the same people in the cast? Is it still like Jemaine Clement and...
I can't remember. I think it's some overlap. There's some, but not all. But it's an extension in the movie.
Like that's exciting.
It's the same...
Sabrina... The Cursed Tales of Sabrina?
Chilling.
The Chilling Tales chilling of Sabrina. Tales
which
is the spinoff of Riverdale in a way.
The most recent Sabrina comic is the Chilling Tales.
Okay.
It's a horror comic. Like yeah. It's good.
I've heard it is similar to Titans. It is extremely dark in ways that sometimes feel a little forced. But
the trailer looks like American Horror Story.
Yeah, I wanna watch it.
All right.
That
well
sounds interesting to me.
Yeah. That sounds interesting.
That's all I can
for TV.
Think of
yeah.
For TV.
What about for movies?
For movies,
yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to go through a few. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that looks interesting, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It will be out by the time this podcast goes up, but I still am super excited to see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh. I just realized that the guy playing Freddie Mercury is the guy from Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. He's a great actor.
Also a voice in the most recent season of BoJack.
Whose name I can't remember, and I'm going to look it up.
And
keep
he just fucking looks like he channels Freddie Mercury.
Yeah,
and
he's an amazing
you know,
actor.
The thing is that most biopics like that are terrible, but I don't care. I want to see it anyway. I'm just going to point out that
Rami Malek.
Dr. Seuss's The Grinch comes out with Benedict Cumberbatch voicing the Grinch. I'm not going to fucking go see that. Fuck that movie.
You're going to see it.
I mean, yeah,
you're
I probably
gonna, your
you're
kids gonna, are going to make you go.
No, my kids won't. My kids are old enough to know it looks like shit.
You're going to end up seeing it.
I probably will, but I don't want to. The Girl in the Spider's Web, the Dragon Tattoo sequel.
Hmm.
To the original Dragon Tattoo series, looks interesting. Interesting enough, I will probably give it a go. Although I have to say, if you have an opportunity to watch the trailer, don't, because right now I think the trailer gives away pretty much every major plot point in the movie.
Oh shit!
Oh wow!
And unless there are a couple of surprises left, I would really strongly encourage you to stay away.
Is it the same
from that trailer?
Actor
no.
Everything from the okay.
It's a new actress, so it's not it's Rooney Mara was the one from The American.
Mara, yeah.
Yeah.
And she is not playing Lisbeth. It's Lisbeth.
Lisbeth.
Yeah, Lisbeth. That looks interesting. I'm looking at the rest of November. It's not looking super exciting until the end when we get Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the
exciting.
Internet, which I love Wreck-It Ralph so much. And I know that the sequel is not going to be as good, but even more Wreck-It Ralph is as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Good.
Every
it's
time
still
I
more Wreck-It Ralph.
The best part about Wreck-It Ralph is imagining Dr. Stephen Brule instead of Ralph and just being like, I'm gonna fix the internet, dummy. Like,
it's for your just, health.
For your health. Yeah.
Yes.
John C. Reilly is a national treasure.
Coming out the same day as Ralph Breaks the Internet is Robin Hood starring Taron Egerton, which looks so bad.
So bad.
It looks, and I'm going to go see it so hard.
If Ralph doesn't break open a bottle of champagne and pour it on his own ass, can we say he's broken the internet? I'm just curious. I feel like that's a prerequisite.
I think he's
going to
recreate a historically racist picture,
oh,
the magazine cover.
That sounds good. That sounds good. We should do that.
So I'm not going to worry about the Oscar baits for December, but the movies that look really interesting in December to me, we've got Mary Poppins Returns, which
I cannot wait.
I don't want to be excited about it, but I kind of am.
She looks perfect.
The trailers are great.
Emily Blunt looks really good.
Blunt looks perfect. Lin-Manuel Miranda is great. The fact that they're doing it with the Banks children, like grown up, who and they've lost the magic,
they've
which
lost
is
it.
Such a Disney thing. Like,
I know, and
it's very Pan.
Hook.
Hook.
Yeah,
very
totally.
Hook.
It's very Hook.
It looks like it's got a little
great.
Bit of Hook.
Hook was
to
a
it.
Great movie.
Anyway, then just a few days later, Aquaman comes out. And again, I don't know because DC has.
So when I saw the most recent trailer, I was like, oh, I also loved Black Panther. Cool. Good job, DC. But. It's been pointed out to me, like okay, so James Wan is the director who created Saw.
Okay.
And did The Conjuring
sequel.
And most recently, I think, did Furious 7, the Fast and the Furious.
Friend of the show, Bill Styler, has a lot to say about the Fast and the Furious and why it's good.
So...
I know many people who enjoy the Fast and the Furious. Perhaps what we need to do is make that a podcast goal.
Jesus. I couldn't get through the first one, Tim.
Why?
No, I got through the first one.
Podcasts are all about family.
So, like, I'm curious and not strictly, like, morbidly curious about Aquaman. I feel like it could be the least attached to the rest of the DC Universe DC movie, which is only working in its favor.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like the only interested in men woman in the world who doesn't find Jason Momoa to be like liquid sex, I'm just kind of like, yeah, he kind of looks like one of them asshole jocks surfing down at the beach. Like, he doesn't. But I know so many women, they're like, well, I mean, I'm going to go see it because Jason Momoa, like, he's so hot. And it's, I don't know.
I'm excited that they have Mera. More than anything else.
Yeah.
And it is based on some Geoff Johns comics, which he had a pretty good run of Aquaman. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm going to see it.
Oh, coming, of course we're going to see it, but I'm not going to be on my opening weekend dongs.
Coming out the same day, and I have to admit that the trailers make me curious, but I know it's going to suck, is Bumblebee.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, God.
That it's the Transformers,
oh,
but it's just
sake.
About Bumblebee.
Why are you disgracing our podcast?
Wait,
they made a movie to focus on one of the more racist ones?
No.
No, Bumblebee's not the racist.
He's
Bumblebee
not the racist.
Doesn't talk.
Oh.
No, Bumblebee.
Oh, that'll be a fun movie.
I mean, I don't think it'll be good, but I'm intrigued.
Is he on the moon or Saturn or
no, he's
is
on
he under the ocean?
The trailer made it look less like explosions and more like a boy and his dog.
It does look a little bit like a girl.
Iron Giant style?
Kind of.
It probably won't be good, but I'm intrigued. So later in the month, we've got Holmes and Watson, which is a comedic take on Holmes and Watson with Will Ferrell and... John C. Reilly.
That looks good.
John C. Reilly is the part that
funny. It looks stupid, comma, and funny.
Again, those two together are great. I did not like Talladega Nights or Step Brothers the first time I saw it. On repeated viewings, I have come to appreciate the mostly improvised comedic genius between the two of them and the way that they feed off each other And so the Holmes and Watson movie, I have a feeling the first time I see it, I'll be like, ugh. And then I'll watch it again and be like, all right. Yeah.
And then finally, right at the end of the year, you know, because we were getting pretty close to the end of the podcast time here. We've got Stan and Ollie based on Laurel and Hardy. Yeah. Again, John C. Reilly is dramatic chops.
Diverse talent.
And also Steve Coogan. So Steve Coogan is Stan.
Looks picture perfect as
and,
Stan.
Yeah. And John C. Reilly is Ollie.
Yeah.
So
I'm
very interested in that one. That one's probably an Oscar bait movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Steve Coogan a lot. He was fantastic in Hamlet 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was probably the reason that movie actually managed to be funny and not just like, oof, what's going on with this thing? So
Alita Battle Angel comes out December 21st,
too. I'm excited about Alita Battle Angel.
Which is based on the manga Battle Angel Alita, or Alita, the anime series. But
And this is James Cameron's pet project for a long time,
he's
right?
He's had the movie rights to this for like 25 years or some shit. That's hyperbole. But
no, but he keeps saying like he wasn't going to make the movie until the technology caught up or something, right?
Because it's really good manga. Like, I really like the story. I really like the world building and the insane, huge, weird combat cyborg fucking Mad Max shit that goes on. And the huge anime eyes that they put on her that people were shocked about in the trailer, like, it doesn't really bother me because she's not fucking human.
You were excited about that. You were like, she actually looks just like it. You pulled up stills from the manga and you were like, this is what she looks like.
If you hold them up side by side.
Yeah,
like,
it's kind
like
of incredible they managed to
manga.
Make that happen.
And,
yeah.
And other people don't look like that. But you know what? If you look at all the, like Ito and the other characters in the comic, they don't look like that either.
Yeah.
Like she does because she's fucking different. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to watch it. Like, I'm excited for it. It should be like a series of movies, and it probably won't be,
but it
should be like three movies, you know?
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Probably badly, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what else? Yeah.
That's it through December. I mean, that's a good
Nick,
slate
do you
of
have,
stuff
a,
we've
do
got
you have
coming
a,
up.
Do you have anything, like a quick rundown at the beginning of the year?
Yeah. So the comics for the comic movies for next year.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, sure.
March, we get Captain Marvel.
Oh, yes.
And then like right away, like May 3rd, we get the conclusion to Infinity War.
Yep.
Not doing anything that day,
I
but
can't
watching
wait.
That movie.
In between them, in April, we get Shazam.
Oh, yeah. That still looks really funny.
A DC movie that is not in the DC Cinematic Universe, which is too bad because
DC,
it looks...
DC, what are you doing?
It looks so fucking fun.
Like, what are
and
you
that's
doing,
what's
man?
Missing from all of their movies to me is fun.
How do they look at the Marvel model and be like, not that. That makes too much money and is too popular.
Yeah. You don't want to be exactly like Marvel, so let's just be shitty.
Oof.
We don't have children that laugh in our cinematic universe.
Right?
That goes somewhere
our
else.
Children say, fuck Batman.
And then July, we get Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Which all I've heard...
Spoiler, I guess Spider-Man's okay.
Yeah. All I've heard is, and I don't know how accurate this is or how it plays in, but it's called Far From Home because after the conclusion of Infinity War, Peter Parker goes on a European vacation or like field trip.
Okay. Because I really want to see Peter Parker sex backpacking his way through Europe.
Like it's
his gap year.
Like, I want to see him like swinging on the fucking Eiffel Tower. That's what
that's
I want to see.
I mean, that's what he's going to get.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. All that other stuff is fine. But no, Spider-Man on the Eiffel Tower. That's why I'm there.
How about Peter Parker stays in the hostel from the horror movie Hostel and like takes down a murderous human trafficking ring.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, we get Hellboy in 2019, too.
Whoa!
A new Hellboy reboot.
That's exciting.
And Ad Astra, the Ruth Negga from Preacher, is the star of that. And that sounds kind of cool. Like solar system exploration
stuff. Well, that sounds like a lot of great geeky stuff. I mean, we are honestly, for the last 5-10 years, we've been in a geek renaissance. It's been an amazing time to be a nerd.
Yeah.
All of our stuff is, it makes money. So they want to keep making it. And
I'm just saying, when we can kind of be going, Doctor
Who.
Can I just say,
we didn't mention, we didn't even mention the fact that there's going to be a new Star Wars movie in December next year.
Yes.
That's how amazing the glut of geeky media is.
It's so far away.
I know, but at the same time, like 10 years ago, the fact that there's a Star Wars movie in a year and a half would have been a huge deal, right? Like,
right.
And it's not. Because it's just so common.
Too much stuff
so
coming up.
That's our geeky media roundup. Did we miss anything that you're really jonesing for? Please let us know. Comment on our Facebook page and let us know what we missed. That said, let's get on to five questions.
Five questions.
Actual five questions.
Five questions from a listener?
From someone, yeah.
Hot damn.
We have five questions from Cole Lambright. Cole is a Patreon supporter.
Yes. Oh,
and therefore jumped to the top of the queue.
Bumped him right to the top
That's
of
right.
the queue.
So Cole says, I must say, I love this idea. Question one, what is the most annoying song you've gotten stuck in your head recently?
It's only annoying because it's been stuck in my head and I have only myself to blame.
All right.
Where Eagles Dare, Misfits.
Oh, sure.
I listened to it once. I like went out and bought.
I was
like,
with you.
I spent like $20 on MP3s to kind of like expand out the collection a little bit and diversify my music. And I was like, oh yeah, I love that Misfits song. And I threw it on my phone and listened to it once in the car. And it is fucking pervasive. Like, it has been in my head. Like, I'm making coffee today. I'm like, no, son of a bitch. Yeah. It's
yep.
Just, yeah. It's in
my head. So the one that's in my head is even worse than that. It is a YouTube video of a man singing a song to his cat, and he pauses, and then his cat meows. And I think his cat's name is Soup. And it goes, sing me the songs of the good time, Soup. And Soup goes, meow. He goes, sing me the song of your friends, Soup. Meow. Sing me the songs of the good time, Soup. Meow. And like, and that is just on repeat in my head.
That is too bad.
I will make sure we post the video in the show
good
notes.
Good idea.
Oh, boy. Oh, good. Thank you, Molly.
You're welcome.
As we are recording this podcast, I am currently appearing in The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, which I co-wrote with friend of the show, Duck Washington, and
Ooh.
Co-wrote music with friend of the show, Jeffrey Brown. And we have a song called The Headless Horseman, which is easily the simplest song in the show. And boy, I just can't forget it. It's on a constant loop, and I'm sorry I ever agreed to write the show for that
you
very
have
reason.
Only yourself to blame.
I do. I literally. Well, I can blame Jeffrey a little bit.
Yeah,
he writes. He writes good hooks. But anyway, so that's it. That's my answer.
Yeah,
question number
that's
two.
A good one. Question number two. What are your top five favorite podcasts, not including Geeks Without God?
Five. Shit.
I know it's a lot.
Molly, what's the
Ghost Stories?
Ghost
Black Tapes.
Ghost Photos. Okay.
Black Tapes.
So
yep.
Black Tapes, which is like horror episodic mystery unfolding. I feel like I'm going to say High Five Guys and Apropos of Nothing just because we have friends on them and I like the people involved quite a bit. I didn't listen to Night Vale a ton, but I really liked it a lot. And my favorite podcast of all time is on semi-permanent hiatus. And that is News from Honeytown.
Yep.
News from Honeytown is my favorite podcast, and I really miss doing it.
We're going to have a lot of crossover, so I'm just going to mention the one that I don't share with you that is Limetown, which is actually... Pleasure Town is another good one. I stopped listening to that. But Limetown, it had a new episode out today, actually. Season 2 came out today. Disappointingly, it has advertisements now. Straight up in the middle of the episode, right in the middle of the action, it cuts to a fucking advertisement for Bombas socks and some other
fucking
goddamn
Bombas
thing.
Socks, goddamn.
And it's just like, oh, cool. And I listened to Limetown when it was brand new, so there weren't any ads at all. I found out from Reddit they injected ads later on. After like a year or so to you know, whatever, for whatever costs. And I'd like to point out, Geeks Without God remains ad-free after 7 years and lots of attempts. People have actually contacted us several times to try to get us to do advertisements on the show.
And we've turned them down. That's why.
Except for Campbell's Soup. Campbell's Soup.
Well, we don't
Chicken and Stars.
Because
Salt.
We have folks like our person who sent in their questions for us.
That's right. Cool.
That's right.
Cool.
All right.
Cool.
So, Tim, what are your top five podcasts? I have a feeling you don't really listen to many podcasts.
I don't listen to too many podcasts.
Except for
this
one.
Pathetic. I obsessed with Joseph Scrimshaw. I do actually listen to that fairly regularly. And I've appeared on it several times. And I enjoy it. It's people talking about things that they're nerdy about, which I think is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There's A Real Education Musicals, so I'm not cheating because A Real Education is my podcast, but A Real Education Musicals is hosted by Wendy Bowlesby, and they are watching musicals and talking and commenting
about
them.
With people who've never seen them before.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and being a lover of musicals, I just have to give a shout out to that. And I guess, well, wait, Don't Tell Me, which is a podcast. It's also an NPR show. And really entertaining. My kids really enjoy listening to Wait, Don't Tell Me. And that's three, right?
Sure, that's it. We'll just call that.
Yeah,
that's
enough. that's and there are two more.
Oddly enough, the Shoemaker's Children don't have shoes.
Right. All
right, question three. Would you rather have a pie that is cream-based or fruit-based? For example, banana cream versus cherry.
My favorite kind of pie is French silk, so I guess I got to go cream-based.
Cream-based. All right.
Yeah. My favorite pie is fruit and cream.
Oh, what's this?
Like a lemon supreme.
Lemon supreme
not
would qualify.
It's both.
Because it's got a cheese. You know, I'm saying lemon supreme is both. Yeah. Lemon meringue is not a cream.
Gross.
Yeah, but a lemon supreme has like a cheesecake base usually.
But if I had to pick, it would be fruit pies.
Mm.
All right.
Double crust or single crust?
Single.
With your fruit pie. Single crust.
I don't mean I like a double crust apple pie, I guess. But I prefer it to be open and just more pie.
My favorite pie of all time is technically a cake. It is a Boston cream pie. Which is also a cream pie, so I guess cream wins.
Cream.
All right.
Cream wins.
Question number four. How many books is too many?
I guess if you run out of shelf space.
When it becomes a problem and starts to interfere with the rest of your life.
I feel like the minute you have to move, that's when you realize you have too many books.
I mean, I have a big-ass bookshelf in this room, and it's not even full of books.
No, it's got a lot of toys on it.
Yeah.
And mugs. Yeah, we have a bookshelf. We have two bookshelves in our home that are packed full of books, and then also have a lot of other stuff crammed on top of the books, including other books. I've pared down my books a lot in the last few years just because, you know, I've tried to let go of such things, and also, you know, there's Kindles, which leads us into a next question. But Nick, how many books is too many books?
When it starts to interfere with your life.
When it starts to interfere with your life?
Yeah.
So
it's like how much liquor is too much liquor.
Sure.
When you can't function without it and you start not showing up to work.
I feel like Dreamhaven has too many books because we've each worked there and they had to try to shelve things.
They did have too many books.
Is it better now?
Now they don't have too many books.
Because when I worked at Dreamhaven for a hot couple weeks, there were times where it was like, try to find a place for these 10 copies of this book on the shelf where there are already 12 copies of this book on the shelf. And it's like, nah, I can't.
Not going
to
happen.
Yeah.
All right, so question number five. Do you prefer to read a real book or read a book on an electronic device of your choice? Phone, Kindle, Nook, etc.
Real book.
Real book. Why?
I actually the type is I like holding a book. I like the feeling of having the book in my hands. I don't particularly like scrolling.
Okay.
To read.
Okay, that's
it
fair.
I do not feel like I'm accomplishing the process of reading a book if I'm looking at a scroll bar.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I now know I'm halfway through the book because I can see that I'm halfway through the book.
That's fair.
So
Kindles don't scroll. They page turn.
Sure, but you still can't.
But you can't like stick your finger in and realize how full through you are. I prefer Kindle because I have my old 3G hacked Kindle that has custom fonts.
Mm-hmm.
And I have increased the spacing between lines, which makes I have dyslexia. It makes it a lot easier for me to read when I can choose the font I have and then increase the distance between lines.
I can remember when you got that and how much you started reading again.
It was
I started significant.
I could read like maybe like 33% faster.
And to, you could, well, you started reading novels again.
Yeah.
You had kind of given up on novels. You were more of a comics, graphic novels. Like you really weren't much into reading novels because it wasn't fun.
Well,
it was
work. The time. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
I stopped having the time to dedicate to it because it takes so much fucking mental effort to like sit down and read a dead tree. But I also really, really enjoy audiobooks.
Genuine question for both of you, and no like snark or judgment meant. How often would you say you read books, regardless of the media? How often do you read books? Like in a month, would you say you read one book a month or fewer?
I might read one or two books a month. I do not do a lot of book reading.
Yeah, yeah.
If
not counting audiobooks, let's say like actually reading with your eyes.
Oh shit, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know, reading with my eyes books. I don't know. The last novel I read was not Angel Maker, but I think it was Tiger Man.
Sure.
Maybe? Yeah. It's been a little while.
I also listen to a lot of audiobooks. That's how I do the majority of my fiction consuming.
Yeah.
But there are certain things I prefer to read. I read Stephen King books.
Yeah.
100%. I read them with my eyes. I buy them in hardcover the day they come out. It's just something I do. I also, there's been a couple books. So I read an audiobook recently that made me want to buy the physical book because of the way that I could tell the way it was being read. I could tell that there was a lot happening with the actual visual.
Yeah.
Positioning of the words on the page and the fonts and stuff that were going to make a big difference. So
usually if I'm reading a physical book, or on a Kindle, whatever, I'm either reading, comics
mm-hmm.
or I'm reading technical manuals or technical, like it's not pleasure reading. I'm sitting down with a Cisco manual and fucking like reading about switches and routers and
sure,
shit.
Sure.
So, it's not pleasure reading.
I will say that I used to be very anti-Kindle and super book snobby until the first time I read a book on Kindle, and then I was like, oh, I can read this anywhere and my arms aren't tired, because I like to read, you know, 800 to 1,000 plus page books, novels.
Yeah.
That's my shit. And it's a lot harder to read those in a tub or on the bus or, you know, at your lunch break if you don't have a table. And having a Kindle makes it way easier. At the beach, especially when I realized I could actually hold a book over my face and not fear that I was going to get tired and drop it on my head.
Well, and e-ink screens are perfectly fine in sunlight; like they don't have a glare or anything like that.
Well, and our shit's 8 years old. I mean,
E-ink devices, the battery lasts for fucking ever.
Yep.
Like I think because having text on the screen doesn't actively drain the battery. Every time you turn the page, it just flashes the screen with a new image that stays there without electricity being required to keep it there.
Huh.
So the only time it really uses battery is when you're flipping pages, loading something, downloading a new book, that sort of thing. So if you're just casually reading and not downloading or doing anything else, like a Kindle battery could last you a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
All right, so that answers that question. Thank you so much, Cole, for answering your questions. Or I should say for asking us questions that we then answered. We flipped the script. If you have questions that you want to ask us, we will answer them. No questions too mundane, too big, too complicated, too easy. We want to hear what you want to know about us. Don't be embarrassed or think that your questions are stupid. There are no stupid questions. Your teachers were right.
Except the ones you don't ask.
Exactly. See, your teachers were double right. We have been Geeks Without God. You can follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, and like us on Patreon and support us like Cole did. And that's how Cole got her answers in a little sooner. So please, by all means, do those things, because we really rely on your support. We would love to have you comment on Facebook and let us know what sorts of things you want to be looking forward to in the upcoming year in terms of geeky media. That's really all I have to say, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. No one cares about Stephen King but you.
Shut up.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @Geeks Without God.
Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Okay, so hold on. So what we have now gets us to where?